McKendrick stood up, a little tired.
I'm sorry to say that I don't think that piece of metal would cause any of these monsters to commit suicide. But I can make a pretty good guess now as to what it does do.
He pointed to his tags.
Taste and sexual impulses branch off from that one as near as I can tell. Emotion and action branch off from the other one there. This metal clip was installed when it was an infant. See the faint ancient scars in this side of the skull? At that time, the bones would be soft and would heal fast.
And what does it do?
My guess is that it short-circuits pleasure with action. Maybe they did it to make a Cyclo happy only when he was working. But, and I can't tell fully unless I dissect a lot of these nerves further down, I think its actual effect was to make a Cyclo enjoy cruel action.
Suddenly, Johnny recalled an expression of Turl's. He had seen him do something cruel and heard him mutter,
"Delicious."
The effort to make them industrious, I think, was miscalculated by their ancient
mental specialists,
and they made a race of true monsters.
Everyone agreed with that.
That wouldn't make them commit suicide to protect technology,
said Robert the Fox.
You got another corpse here. He was an assistant mine manager by his papers and got twice the pay of the one you just did. Get him on the table, man.
McKendrick got another table. He would have to picto-record and sketch the work he had just done. They put the mammoth head of the second one on the machine. They had the setting now, and they looked into the dead brain of one who had been called Blow. And Johnny, who had been getting despondent, gruesome as this job was, suddenly smiled. There were two metal pieces in this one's head. The whir flap of the machine took the recording, and he rushed out to tear through the analysis code books. There it was, bright and clear, silver. When he re-entered the room, McKendrick, being practiced now, had the brain stripped down. He was spot-dying the connections of the second bit of metal before he took it out. It was about 3/4 of an inch long. The lack of oxygen in a cyclo bloodstream had left it gleamingly bright. It was a cylinder. The nubs on each end were insulated from the silver. Angus put it on the machine, and it was hollow. Johnny made him adjust the equipment even more finely. There was a filament of some sort inside that cylinder. They surmised they would find them in other executive corpses. So when McKendrick had sterilized it, Johnny cut it in half, very delicately. The inside of it resembled a component in remote controls, but it was not a radio.
I haven't identified these nerves, because I can't tell exactly what they go to right now, but I'll work on it.
Could it be a thought wavelength vibrator?
Asked Johnny.
A difference measurer?
Said Angus.
Like, difference of thought waves of another race?
Johnny would let them go on working on it. But he had a very good idea it was designed to release an impulse under certain conditions, and that that impulse could cause attack and suicide.
There's only one thing wrong,
said McKendrick.
It was put in an infant. Getting it out of the head of a live adult cyclo through all these bones would be a task one could never guarantee the success of.
Then he saw the look of disappointment on their faces.
But I'll try. I'll try.
He didn't think it could be done. And he only had 4 cyclos. And they looked like they were dying.